Did you know when you rolled back the guidance that the stress of harassment and discrimination can lead to lower attendance and grades as well as depression for transgender students? Did you know that when you rolled back the guidance?
I do know that.
This is going to be intergenerational. People think the older people are going to help the young people, but you know the young people have as much, perhaps more, to offer in some areas.
You just have to do it. You just have to start and do it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Trump's military trans ban takes effect. U.S. Education Secretary DeVos flunks trans teen protections. And LA's new queer castle keeps young and old together. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Laura Dickinson-Turner.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 13th, 2019. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted in July 2017 that transgender recruits should not be allowed to serve in the nation's armed forces. Even as challenges to the ban continue to be argued in federal courts, Trump finally got what he wanted this week. The last of four injunctions preventing the implementation of the ban fell in mid-March, and the Pentagon then announced that the new policy would become effective on April 12th. While Defense Department officials steadfastly insist that it's not a ban, a transgender person under the new policy can now only serve if they pretend they're not. All enlistees must now serve in their birth gender and can't transition while serving. Current transgender troops have, in some cases, been on active duty since the Obama administration lifted obstacles to their service in 2016. The Palm Center studies LGBTQ people in the U.S. military. Their research says that some 14,700 qualified and honorably serving transgender military personnel will be kicked out under the new policy unless they agree to serve as the gender they were assigned at birth. According to the Palm Center, less than 1,000 who've already transitioned or are in the process will qualify to continue serving under what are called grandfather exemptions, which could be revoked at any time. Palm Center Director Aaron Belkin wrote the book on the rise and fall of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He compared that policy to the newly instituted trans ban on MSNBC's The Rachel Maddow Show.
This is Don't Ask, Don't Tell for transgender troops, and the Trump administration is claiming that this is just an innocuous policy. It won't harm the troops, but that's what we were told at the beginning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we saw how well that worked out. This policy will fail in the same way that Don't Ask, Don't Tell failed, because the public won't tolerate a policy that hurts the troops indefinitely. But we can't predict now whether the collapse of the policy will be in court or in Congress, where there's now bipartisan legislation to protect the troops, or perhaps if the White House changes hands. But there's just no way to predict right now how this ban will crumble.
Virtually every U.S. Medical and Mental Health Association has rebutted Trump's claims that health care costs for trans troops would be tremendous. And before the arrival of Donald Trump, the Pentagon's own study had concluded that trans troops were not disruptive and were not causing a morale problem, as the president has claimed. The transgender military memo was signed by Acting Deputy Secretary of Defense David L. Norquist. It prohibits service members who exhibit gender dysphoria, the condition of experiencing a distressing clash between one's experienced gender and the gender assigned at birth. As BuzzFeed's Dominic Holden writes, gender dysphoria is, for many, the essence of being transgender. The U.S. military has been the country's largest single employer of transgender people, until now, of course. Qualified transgender people are welcome to serve in the armed forces of Australia, Austria, Belgium, Bolivia, Canada, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Israel, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom, and under some circumstances in Cuba and Thailand.
A court in Russia has ruled that a printing company illegally fired a trans woman in 2017 who had worked there for more than 10 years before she started to identify as a woman. The company told the Frunzensky District Court in St. Petersburg that Anna Grigorieva was fired under a 19-year-old Russian government policy that bars women from working in more than 450 jobs deemed too dangerous or arduous for women. The United Nations said in a 2016 declaration that the policy violates women's rights. The district court ordered the printing company to give Grigorieva her job back, to pay her the equivalent of about $150 in damages and about $25,000 in back pay. Her lawyer, Maxim Olenichev of the queer rights group Coming Out, announced that, for the first time in Russia, a transgender person has managed to defend her labor rights in court. He said the landmark ruling should inspire other trans people to fight for their employment rights. Ksenia Mikhailova, another lawyer for Coming Out, said the off-limits jobs are meant to ensure women's ability to conceive and give birth. She added that Grigorieva's court victory was not only a historic decision for trans people, but also for women who don't want children.
The Australian state of Tasmania has become one of the most progressive places on earth for transgender people. Its parliament passed sweeping legislation to protect them on April 10th by a vote of 13-12, even though the governing Liberal Party opposed it as legally untested and highly problematic. Speaker Sue Hickey joined opposition Labour and Green MPs to pass it. The legislation removes the requirement for surgery before a person aged 16 or older can change the gender designation on their birth certificate, and instead allows a simple declaration to make the change. The new laws also allow people to remove gender markers from birth certificates if they so choose, and allows parents the right to choose whether or not to include a gender marker on their child's birth certificate. The legislation bans hate speech and offensive language based on gender identity or expression, or based on intersex status. The new laws also end the requirement for married transgender partners to divorce before they can change the gender on their birth certificate. Tasmanian Families for Transgender Kids spokesperson Candice Harrington said that parents of transgender and gender-diverse kids are just so happy that our kids will no longer face legal discrimination and will be able to live their lives true to themselves. We are over the moon about these landmark reforms.
In other news, the Cayman Islands Court of Appeal shut down the planned wedding on April 10th of successful lesbian litigants Chantel Day and Vicky Bodden-Bush. The appeals court bowed to the government's request after it filed its challenge to issue a stay to prevent Chief Justice Anthony Smella's Grand Court marriage equality ruling from taking effect. 2 days before the stay was issued, hundreds of LGBTQ people and their supporters in the capital of Georgetown held a first-ever Cayman Islands Out of Our Shells Pride March. The peaceful and colorful procession ended at the steps of the Legislative Assembly, where lawmakers had applauded the announcement that the government would be appealing the marriage equality ruling. The event was organized by Colors Cayman, the island's queer advocacy group. Their statement said that, "We are proud to acknowledge our existence and hold our heads high. No longer will we be made invisible." The Court of Appeal will hear the government's challenge to the marriage equality ruling in August.
The boycott of Brunei has now been joined by the English National Ballet, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Tempest Magazine, Citigroup, Barclays, Goldman Sachs, Jefferies, Nomura, Britain's Foreign Secretary, and the Police Federation of England and Wales. They add to the growing list of companies, celebrities, and governments that are shunning the tiny, Muslim-majority East Asian nation. It's all in response to the institution of severe Sharia, or Islamic law, by its ruling sultan. Sharia punishes consensual adult same-gender sex, adultery by Muslims, and other so-called crimes with death, by stoning. The family of Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah owns several high-end hotel properties, including the Dorchester in London and the Beverly Hills Hotel in California. You can see the entire list at thiswayout.org. Australian media this week identified Brisbane's Royal on the Park as another of the Sultan's hotels. According to the travel industry publication TTR Weekly, subsidiaries of the Sultan's companies own hotel properties in Bali and Singapore as well. TripAdvisor deleted reviews for the Sultan's hotels on its platform following a spike in negative posts. Trivago, Expedia US, Expedia UK, Orbitz, and Travelocity have been condemned for continuing to take bookings for them. The Sultan also has a financial stake in Royal Brunei Airlines. Street demonstrations outside Brunei government offices have been held in London, Brisbane, and Bangkok, and more are expected. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison was the latest this week to join the global chorus of condemnation, while U.S. President Donald Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have been conspicuously silent.
And finally, you may recall A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo, an illustrated children's book published last year by TV political humorist John Oliver. It parodied a children's book by the family of U.S. Vice President Mike Pence about their real-life pet rabbit. Oliver's Last Week Tonight staff writer, Jill Twiss, actually penned the book in which Marlon meets and marries his male bunny boyfriend. A very Mike Pence-like stink bug is the villain of the story. According to the latest list from the American Library Association, or ALA, A Day in the Life of Marlon Brando was last year's second most challenged book. A majority of the top 10 books that were banned or moved to obscure library bookshelves had LGBTQ themes. The book most objected to was George, an award-winning coming-of-age story of a transgender girl by Alex Gino. Two of the children's books on the ALA's most censored list were notoriously burned outside the local public library in Orange City, Iowa last year by a far-right Christian preacher to protest the area's first LGBTQ pride event. The library received more than 200 queer-themed books and monetary donations in response. In this week's media release about the most banned books, the ALA made mention of that book burning with a quote by famed English poet and essayist John Milton, "He who destroys a good book kills reason itself."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending April 13th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at the ever-updating thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast.
And now you can be the first on your blog to hear News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
Opened up their first headquarters in 1971 with $35 in the bank. Today, we've opened up a $141.5 million campus.
This is a remarkable, remarkable dream come true.
You're invited to a historic housewarming later in the program. U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos came before Congress fresh from being publicly shamed by President Donald Trump over her department's plan to eliminate funding for the Special Olympics. Answering questions at an April 10th hearing of the House Education and Labor Committee, DeVos was pushed into another embarrassing admission by Representative Suzanne Bonamici of Oregon, who chairs the Civil Rights Subcommittee. Bonamici asked the education secretary about her decision to roll back Obama-era discrimination protections for transgendered students. DeVos tried to use the U.S. Office for Civil Rights, or OCR, as her shield, but that was no match for Bonamici's sword, and no match for a Randy Rainbow song parody either.
Cruella DeVos, Cruella DeVos. Of basic brain function, she suffers a loss. She might be even dumber than her boss. Cruella DeVos. Where kids are concerned, she'll proudly admit, if they're underprivileged, she don't give a Our education system screwed because of Betsy Cruella DeVos. She can't be bothered learning information.
I'm not familiar with that.
You couldn't fill a thimble with her thoughts.
Well, so
her paychecks? Souvenirs. She bathes in teachers' tears and burns up school supplies to fuel her yacht. She steps on the poor to boost VIPs. In her own profession, she's earned no degrees. So hide your children if you come across Cruella, Cruella DeVos.
You know that transgender students are frequently bullied and victimized. We know also that the 2016 guidance to schools about transgender students was applauded by education experts, healthcare experts, educators, counselors, pediatricians, psychologists, because it made students safer at school. But your department rolled back that guidance, creating uncertainty and concern. So I have two questions. When you rolled back that guidance, did you know that the stress of harassment and discrimination can lead to lower attendance in grades as well as depression and anxiety for transgender students? Did you know that?
Congressman, OCR is committed to ensuring all students have equal access to education free from discrimination.
I would really like an answer. Students and families need to know this. We had a mother of a transgender student here yesterday. We need to know this. Did you know when you rolled back the guidance that the stress of harassment and discrimination can lead to lower attendance and grades as well as depression for transgender students? Did you know that when you rolled back the guidance?
I do know that, but I will say again that OCR is committed to ensuring that all students...
She's got no time for public education. She's out of touch and lacks all basic skills. She buys all her careers. She lies through her veneers and blows her nose with $100 bills.
Everybody!
She's callous and cruel, synthetically sweet. Unethical, shameless, aloof, and elite.
This song's too short to list all of the flaws. Of Betts, I mean Cruella DeVos. She's so dumb.
That's it.
That's not enough for Betsy DeVos. NBC News reported late last week that the education secretary has been working to make it easier for for-profit colleges to garner massive amounts of federal money by victimizing veterans and other low-income students. You can find Cruella DeVos and other Randy Rainbow parodies at randyrainbow.com.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Jerry Jewell.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
My name's Robbie Rogers.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
I'm Billy Bean.
This is John Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valange.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Andrew Sullivan.
This is Augustine Burroughs.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, and you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
Now I'm fascinated.
And those who love them.
Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
And that's the truth.
May God's blessing keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay.
A huge Hollywood block party celebrated the ribbon cutting at the world's queerest dream house come true. And This Way Out was there to share a toast.
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer. On Sunday, April 7th, 2019, the Los Angeles LGBT Center celebrated the opening of the first phase of its Anita Mae Rosenstein campus, a two-acre complex in Hollywood, California, designed to serve LGBTQ youth and seniors, making it the first intergenerational LGBTQ facility in the world. The campus includes 100 beds for homeless youth, a new senior community center, a youth drop-in center, and the Ariadne Getty Foundation Youth Academy. I was interested in how this achievement might resonate with listeners across the globe listening to This Way Out in towns large and small, some with no services to the LGBTQ community at all. I spoke to Lori L. Jean, CEO of the Los Angeles LGBT Center, Anita Mae Rosenstein, the lead donor, Ari DeSano, Los Angeles LGBT Center staff member, City of West Hollywood Council members John Duran and John Heilman, Bishop Clemens, a veteran gay activist who was in the neighborhood when the Stonewall Riot broke out, David Park Epstein, a veteran LGBTQ activist, and actress and activist Lily Tomlin. We begin with Lori L. Jean.
Our founders opened up their first headquarters in 1971 with $35 in the bank. Today we've opened up a $141.5 million campus. And it just goes to show what a determined group of people with great allies like Anita Mae Rosenstein can do when they set their minds to it. Anita has been after us to do this for years because she wanted to do more for the more vulnerable in our community, and now we've done it.
Thank you, and Anita, thank you so much. Would you say something for the This Way Out radio audience?
I would just say that everybody should keep their hopes up and know that there's so much passion and support in this community that things will get done.
I can't believe it actually happened.
Ari DeSano.
I used to work here in another building that used to be an old DMV, and the center bought that building, and it was crazy. It was like a huge, empty, crazy building from the 1970s. And then that was...
No character, no personality.
Oh, it was crazy. If you... Yeah, imagine the 1970s DMV and, like, apocalyptic abandoned. Like, it was just like somebody... They left one day and never came back. And that was our building.
Taser with This Way Out Radio.
Hi, Brian.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, thanks. Good. How are you feeling today?
Amazing.
City of West Hollywood Council members John Duran and John Heilman.
I used to be one of the people on the phone to the center back in the 80s, early 80s, and it was over on Highland. Just one room, hotline for STDs, and now to see all this, it's just amazing.
Right, and it's 50 years. It's been from the beginning until this.
Yeah.
Right.
Amazing, amazing day.
Right.
I mean, and to be eyewitness to it all, I feel really blessed. It's been really a blessing to me, and I wish to watch us go from there all the way to you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, how are you?
Nice how are you feeling? What are your emotions today as you're watching the people come by?
This is really exciting. It's such a great accomplishment for the community, and it's going to serve the community for many years to come.
Can you tell me about your experience from the Stonewall era and what it means to be here today?
Very proud.
Bishop Clemens.
Very happy and absolutely awed and overwhelmed, because going back to Stonewall, one couldn't possibly envision what's happening today. I was living in New York City, quite near the Stonewall bar, and it was very interesting because my lover at the time, John, who has since died, and I were just down the street from where it was happening and didn't realize it. We were walking home and going up West 4th, and we noticed a bit of a commotion going on down by Sheridan Square. And John, oh, something's going on down there. And he walked back and came back to me at Stonewall and said, oh, there's obviously, you know, some kind of a little set-to going on, and there's a bunch of queens doing high kicks at the police. And we thought that was very strange, but we weren't going to get involved with doing high kicks at the police. And that was Stonewall in John's and my life.
So tell me what it's like being here for you today.
This is unbelievable.
David Park Epstein.
I've been in our community for 50 years, and this is a remarkable, remarkable dream come true, because we're telling the world, we're not going anywhere. You may want to drive us back in the closet. You may want to drive us out of the country. But we're not going anywhere, baby. We just laid down $110 million to tell you we are a family. We take care of our own, and you can go yourself.
And can you describe just what it's going to be like for seniors and youth to work, be together?
You know, this is going to be an intergenerational event. And I think people think, oh, well, the older people are going to help the young people. But, you know, this is a two-way street. You know, the young people have as much, perhaps more, to offer in some areas. Yes, they can learn about our community and get guidance and hopefully some strength from people who have endured incredible oppression and are still here today.
I think, what can we instill in everyone? Or by example, we certainly are doing something good.
Lily Tomlin.
But how can you make people get that, where there's so little opportunity possibly, even economic opportunity, you've got to get forces that are able to do something, build something, and just start, even if it's in a little shack. Start and do something. Make it known. See how people behave, how they blossom and get better, and they're assimilated and they declare themselves. And it goes back so far for us. I don't know.
Right.
You just have to do it. You just have to start and do it.
And finally, from the stage where the ribbon was cut, California Democratic United States Congressman Adam Schiff.
It is such a treat to join all of you and to see this magnificent facility behind me. I want to congratulate the Los Angeles LGBT Center on the grand opening of this magnificent, revolutionary Anita Mae Rosenstein campus. Envisioned by the LGBT Center more than a decade ago, this remarkable campus is the product of the hard work and dedication of community members, city staff, architects, donors, and local leaders across the county. For half a century, the Los Angeles LGBT Center has championed LGBT individuals and families in greater LA, providing services for members of the community and more so than any other organization in the world. This beautiful new campus will allow the center to continue its important work and further expand its programs and services. The campus will serve as the center's headquarters, allowing for the McDonald Wright Building to become solely a health and medical center to meet the growing demand for health-related services. This community owes a debt of gratitude to the LA LGBT Center for its unwavering endeavors to build a better, healthier, and more equal world. And I am so honored to represent this exceptional organization and to celebrate this groundbreaking achievement with you.
This was celebrating the first phase of the campus. The second phase of the campus, scheduled to open in mid-2020, will have 99 units of affordable housing for seniors and 25 supportive housing apartments for youth. For more information, you can go to lalgbtcenter.org. I'm Brian DeShazer from Hollywood, California, for This Way Out Radio.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Laura Dickinson Turner, produced with Brian DeShazer, and from Brian DeShazer. Randy Rainbow and Joan Baez performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. You can join them during the Great Give Out Day online extravaganza benefiting LGBTQ nonprofits on April 18th. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3ECB Croydon, Victoria, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, WOJB Hayward, Wisconsin, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.